Okay, one thing here. I don't know if TH or something we could look into, maybe talk about is, well, if we scrutinize the evolution theory, maybe this could be actually that, an episode about the evolution. Not just trying to pick apart the Darwinian evolution theory and leave the audience hanging there, but to present, I can dig up facts about that. An alternative theory, and one thing that I just thought about is the fact, the overwhelming fact, that different species of animals and, well, humans too in a way, seem to adapt so ingeniously to the climate and the circumstances and this environment they live in. I mean, we have the animals who camouflage themselves, who can change their colors and its shapes. We have animals living far up in the icy areas, and how their fur is just perfectly growing in a way that protects them from the cold. I mean, even the Inuits, the polar explorers, in the old days at least, they understood that, and they used that fur because it's the best. So that's why I started thinking about it, because I was looking at reading about this Nansen and Amundsen and the polar explorers. So anyway, we could just continue with listing different examples of that. And now, the standard, at least when I grew up, Darwinian evolution theory explanation would be, I don't even know if Darwin himself came up with that, but that there were just random mutations. Basically, one specimen of a species happened to be born with, you could say, an anomaly, just by chance, more or less, and then that proved this individual to be stronger than the others. It worked better, and therefore that remained, and the others died out or whatever. Now, that we should need to scrutinize, and I'm sure others have done. This in itself is so weak. I mean, first of all, the chance of a random change in the DNA or some cells there of a of some animal that makes it grow in a completely, again, random, unexpected way that would make that one better suited for something. I mean, for instance, a lizard turning into a flying lizard, or a fish growing feet and crawling up on land, legs. There wouldn't just be one, but a whole bunch of random mutations for whatever reason going on there, because you don't just have one random mutation that instantly produces legs with feet that are able, you know, complete with ability, with muscles and ability to move and to propel that, move that person forward in a useful way that makes that animal more suited to survival. Because first of all, why an aquatic, a fish, should all of a sudden crawl up on land? Does that make it more suitable for survival? I mean, there are just innumerable problems with this random mutation stuff. And I don't even know if they still hang on to that. Now, if we here, and this is what we should do, establish the mind, the role, again, the fundamental role of the mind and the conscious living being there, which we can do by all this, again, innumerable evidence, indications at least, that the mind over matter thing is a fact. That even the ways our bodies develop, and, you know, the mind affects our bodies a lot. So it could then be, the explanation could then be a much more natural, and I would say much less fantastic one. Although this would take a bit of open-mindedness from those who are just hardwired into the physicalist, everything is just matter and there is no mind or soul or anything kind of idea. Because obviously, first of all, there is a mind. We use it all the time. We are living, we are conscious living beings, thinking, feeling, willing, and creative, and so on, right? So we can't just deny that. And if someone wants to basically just ignore the reality included in what a living person with a mind is, I mean, the metaphysical, obviously, reality of that, you can't explain all the properties of a living, conscious person with a mind and intelligence and feelings and emotions and sense of humor and love and hate and all of that in terms of matter, but that's another thing. If one can just at least take that step, that yes, there is a mind, and we are using that mind, and it's not, the mind has a power to influence matter. Of course, we can see it all the time, because everything we do, everything we have created, the whole human world here started with a creation in the mind, with ideas and plans and drawings and all of that, understanding of physical principles and laws of nature and all of that. So it's all of a mental origin anyway. Now, why am I babbling about this? Well, we could very well think of it this way, that if you I mean, just simplified here. If you would emigrate to a very cold place far up north, let's say you are some kind of animal, and you go, you end up far, far, far up there north. You would start to grow an appropriate fur. Why? Well, because you want that. But there is this creative force involved there, coming from the mental, from the mind, and the desire. A wild rabbit or hare, like here in Sweden, they turn white in the winter when there is snow. All those kind of things. That it's there coming from either the desire and mind of the individual, that animal. Of course, this is hard for people today to understand because they think, well, you know, these animals, they are just so stupid. They have no minds or souls or anything. So how could they come up with even the idea of having white fur instead of brown fur in the winter? What to speak of initiating the biological necessary process to make that happen. Of course, that's not the way in that case that this happens. Again, one would have to see it this way, that the physical forms are, and I'm repeating myself not to just really make the point clear, but the physical forms are, biological forms are, not just pieced together by little building blocks, but are structures appearing in gross physical form out from subtle structures which are really going on or are there on the more ethereal, not mental platform. If you can see it that way, it's not so hard to fathom this idea I'm describing now. Now, another one which requires a bit more of a, both of them require a bit more of a an understanding of the world that is in line with that of the original people of the, if you can find it in traditional Indian worldview and Eastern general and the indigenous people, that, well, everything is alive. This world is built on life, and that there is a higher control. In fact, several levels of higher control, just as a society here is also built or constructed or structured. So agent, so to speak, that turns that brown fur of the rabbit into white fur when it's snow, and then back into brown gray fur when the snow disappears. Could also simply be that higher control, creative agent that then, now I'm getting really metaphysical, esoteric and speculative, it sounds maybe also, but I think that there is something to this that could be further explored. That then adjusts the framework, the psychophysical framework of the rabbit down to the whatever genetic level or whatever, so that this change takes place. Anyway, now I'm lost here. So this is just food for further exploration.